welcome to the first episode of the Bioanalysis Zone podcast on cell and gene therapies, sponsored by QPS Holdings. I'm your host, Ellen Williams, and today I'm joined by Joanna Mora, who is the Senior Director in Clinical Pharmacology, Pharmacometrics, Disposition and Bioanalysis at Bristol Myers Squibb. Thank you very much for being here, Joanna. So could you start by telling us a little bit more about how you got into cell and gene therapy research and how your current role relates to the field?
Hi, Ellen. Thank you for having me. Regarding my role, I lead a group of 8 bioanalytical leads that's at PK and immunogenicity strategy for programs in our portfolio across all modalities. So when the BMS portfolio grew to include cell and gene therapy, we had to come up to speed, and I had to learn a lot more about immunology so that our strategies will be solid, and especially in the immunogenicity side. About a year ago, one of my mentors gifted me the book called The Song of the Cell by Siddhartha Mukherjee. And if you are in a similar situation as I was, I highly recommend you picking up the book. He does a great job about giving you historical information, molecular biology, immunology, all the background you need to understand where we started and how is it that we are where we are today in terms of cell therapy and how beneficial it's been to patients like Emily Whitehead as she was cured from cancer. Regarding gene therapy, we're talking about introducing a gene in the patient, perhaps as a defective expression of a protein or completely absent that's causing the disease. And cell therapy side, those modifications that are done in vivo in the gene therapy space are done extracellularly. And as the cells are removed from the patient, and there we're introducing those back. So a lot of for us to consider in terms of what the immunogenicity risk for these modalities could be.
The absolute breadth of cell and gene therapies, the different mechanisms and what we're now able to start treating is really extraordinary, and it's a very exciting field to be in, I imagine.
We are definitely really privileged to be part of drug development process for these new modalities, and very lucky that our company has such a wide portfolio. It makes it exciting to come to work.
I'm sure. Could you maybe explain in a little bit more detail why cell and gene therapies in particular require those additional bioanalytical considerations above the safety aspect?
So I joined BMS in 2007. At that time, there were a couple of ways that we're doing PK assessments. It was either by LC-MS or ligand binding assay for immunogenicity. As our portfolio expanded, then we also started exploring methodologies such as affinity capture LC-MS, kind of like the child between the other two platforms. And then again, as we got into other modalities, then hybridization ELISAs came into play. Now with cell and gene therapy, we're bringing in PCR to support PK assessments. And the way that I look at this is you're just looking in your toolbox to figure out what's best to answer the question at hand.
So much of your work focuses on immunogenicity assessments for cell and gene therapies. So could you maybe explain more about how CGTs are currently being monitored for immune response?
You can think about like the bread and butter, which we do for all biotherapeutics, is to look at the humoral adaptive immune response. That's like anti-drug antibodies that were generated, right? And we use ligand binding assay for that. There's also a cellular immunogenicity component that we have to consider. And in some cases, the immunogenicity risk assessment may justify that we collect the samples and only analyze if there is a safety or PK change that cannot be explained by looking at the humoral response. That's mostly the strategy that we implement for cell therapy. Gene therapy has additional considerations, and there's an IQ consortium that put together a manuscript that came out in 2007. They do a great job in explaining the immunogenicity risks for gene therapy. So I just want to direct your audience to go back and look at that manuscript. If you think about AAV responses, those are extremely important to monitor both the humoral and the cellular responses. But then when you get into thinking about responses to the transgene protein, then we have to go back and think about the risk assessment. Where are we dosing? Is the dosing frequent or is it a single dose? Is the transgene protein being expressed intracellularly or extracellularly? Because all that would affect the immunogenicity risk in the strategy that gets put behind it. So it's very important for us to look back at white papers that were from discussions that perhaps we had at WRIB or other conferences and make sure that we are aligned on what the immunogenicity risk is and the strategy behind it.
There seems to be some very key documents and key meetups over the year that brings together the scientists within the field. And actually, this is where a lot of the key discussions happen through. They seem to have been pretty instrumental in guiding best practices, sharing information between research groups.
Discussions that we have across the industry are critical. I meet with the bioanalytical leads in my team. We go back to those white papers over and over or to notes from different conferences as we are coming up with the strategy that we're going to implement for our specific program. And in some cases, they're important not just for ourselves, but when we go back to our drug development teams to justify the strategy that we put together. People come from different backgrounds and experiences, and it's good to have such manuscripts to enrich those discussions that we have within our company.
Yeah, definitely. Just being able to get all of those different perspectives and like you said, bringing them back to your team and sharing them and passing on the message, it's just such an important process. And I think the field feels as though it's really benefited from those conversations.
We absolutely benefit from those discussions, getting different perspectives. You think about it, I may have experience with the gene therapy program, it was dosed in a different space than the program that my friend at company X, Y, or Z had. Cell therapy program that I supported, there was very high immunogenicity incidence compared to another one. So it's good to sit down and learn from each other and put together recommendations for the rest of the industry.
Something that I wanted to quickly ask you, that's what do you think of as being some of the most impactful work currently in the field? Is there a particular cell and gene therapy or maybe technique that you think is particularly exciting at the moment?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have a single example to pick, but when I looked at the history and how far scientists have advanced in this area, the safety challenges that were faced, particularly for gene therapy that were overcome, I'm at awe of how people have really persevere in this space. Yes, it's not just a single one, but the collective effort. That's what I'm most excited about.
That's so nice to hear that actually it's not necessarily a technique or a therapeutic that's the most exciting. It's actually the perseverance and the work that the community has put in.
When you think about this, again, let's emphasize the diversity, the collective effort, people from different backgrounds coming together to solve issues. If you want to support something well, you have to understand it. So if this area is new for you, again, talk about the song of the cell and send people to go get the book and learn about this space. I mean, this is really exciting times. Now we can think about artificial intelligence and how it's going to perhaps help us advance in other areas. I'm excited to see what that's going to bring.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that artificial intelligence is maybe be that slingshot that accelerates some of the cell and gene therapy work?
I do think that artificial intelligence is going to help us. There are some interesting discussions that people are having, maybe looking at a collective data that has been generated across the years. Can we use that to justify strategies? Yeah, as the collective data grows, is there patterns that artificial intelligence is going to help us see? Or is there areas in perhaps the challenges that we have right now in the manufacturing process that could be overcome with artificial intelligence? I don't know. I guess I lack the particular vision of where it's going to really help us sleep through. What I do know is that it will help us become more efficient. And I'm excited for that.
I think it's so difficult to be able to predict how it's going to impact every single therapeutic technique. But I think you're right. I think it's going to give people that efficiency and hopefully fast track some of the work that we're doing now. And hopefully we'll get some very exciting therapeutics out to the patients that need them. So it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, Joanna. Do you have any kind of last things to mention before we finish up?
Yeah, before we finish, I just want to remind everyone about the importance of diversity within your teams, bringing in people from different perspectives, different backgrounds. Don't hire the same kind of people all the time. We can all learn from each other and help programs progress faster when we really open our minds to that.
That sounds like very solid advice. I am a firm believer that the best teams and the most effective teams are diverse teams, whether that be field, whether that be past experience. It's so important to get the different perspectives and have somebody see the problem in a different way that you do is actually really important.
It's been a pleasure to spend time with you today. Thank you so much for the invitation.
It's been amazing to have you on. Before we drop off, you have done some work with Bioanalysis Zone in the past. We've published an interview with you within the last 12 months. So if people are wanting to read a little bit more about the work that you do, they'll be able to go and read that article. I know you've pointed them to your favorite book as well, so they've got lots of extra reading to do after this episode, I think. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Thank you.